Exodus chapter 12. I'd like to begin in verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this church and their kindness to me. Thank you for this occasion and this opportunity to declare the gospel. Lord, you see that our hearts and minds are gathered around the Word of God. I pray that this message would glorify you. I offer it up to praise to your name, God. I pray that maybe if there is a sinner in the house tonight, that you would draw all men to repentance, Lord. I pray, God, that if there's a weary saint that is failing in their faith, Lord, that they would claim the victory, even our faith, Lord, that they would be renewed and their faith would be perfected. Help us to come tonight into the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. I'd like to preach for a thought. Flip the page. God was watching the calendar for this date for 400 years. In Genesis chapter 15 and verse 13, God said to Abraham, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. God had his eyes on this day of redemption for a long time. God is eternal. God is pre-existing. He operates outside of the limitations of time. After all, God is the creator of time itself. Because in the beginning, the account of creation, Genesis 1 and verse 14, makes reference to the general command that God just flung the world into order and spoke time as the principal director of creation. He said, Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Before the fall of sin, before sin ever corrupted his creation, he ordered and instituted time. And this institution of time was to organize his creation for his own purpose. To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. And be sure all things will glorify the Father. He said, Even the wicked is made for the day of evil. We see a constant break in time, if I could use that word. We see a constant breaking through of the law of time as God interrupts the laws of nature that He Himself had instituted. We call this defiance of the laws of nature a miracle. When God steps inside the laws that He Himself has made and He breaks His own law, well, He is not bound by His own boundaries. He commanded the sea, You may rage in a storm, but when the storm's over, that is where you will return. And so God is the setter forth of these boundaries to the glory of His own name. So time is His creation, and time is God's servant. Because 2 Peter 3 and 8 informs us not to be ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. God is not limited by the laws of time. Satan has always hated the Sabbath day. Satan has always hated rest. Satan has always hated the worship of God, a day dedicated to worship Him. Satan, like Pharaoh, is a hard taskmaster. He aims to busy your lives with the gathering of stubble, of the carnal bricks, of the pleasures of sin.
but it will all soon melt with fervent heat at the return of our Lord. God wants you to be free tonight to worship Him and to serve Him. Isaiah said in 57:20, the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. To those who are still in bondage, there is no Sunday. There is no worship day. There is no freedom from sin. Sin is a hard, hard labor. Listen to these familiar words. For the wages of sin is death. Can you hear the language that Paul carefully used to describe sin? Sin is a miserable job with terrible pay. Wages of sin is death. Like Pharaoh, Satan's desire is to drive his slaves into that eternal fiery brick oven of eternal flame. And that last image of those slaves marching to his command is in Revelation 14:11. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. That is what he started to do, to bind people, to enslave people to some subservient service, and to busy them rather than serving the living God. And that is full circle where they will end, in a place where there is no rest, in a place where there is no break from that constant suffering. Seeing the misery of a six-day work week on the calendar with no day off, God had his eyes on the clock in our scripture reading. He, if I could put it this way, he licked his fingers. He wrinkled the page of time between his mighty fingers and was getting ready to flip the page. God was getting ready to redeem that time, because the days were evil. God had his hand on the divine calendar and was ready to flip the page. He was ready to give his people a new start, a fresh beginning. This new beginning meant rest. It meant a day off for people who had not experienced rest for 400 years. Satan's calendar was 6 days of work and no rest, 6 days of work with no worship. But God was about to flip the page on the calendar and pencil in a new day, a day of rest, a day of worship. When we flip the page on our calendars, as you probably did early this morning or late last night, all of those crossed out appointments that you satisfied, the engagements that you completed, the bills that you paid, all of them mean nothing to you now. That was yesterday. That was last year. You probably did not save 2019's calendar. You probably quickly disposed of it, because now we are looking to tomorrow. There are bills to be paid tomorrow. There are engagements to be satisfied tomorrow. There are appointments to be completed tomorrow. We can't look at last year's calendar and expect for this year's appointments to be completed. We don't care about yesterday. And when we turn the page on our calendars, we are looking forward to tomorrow. And God, when he turns the page in his divine calendar, he forgets about yesterday too. When God flips the page, he forgets about yesterday's bondage. Hallelujah. When God flipped the page to give them a new start, he had no intentions on them going back to Egypt. He told them to leave. Originally, Moses said, let us go 3 days' journey, far enough for us to forget about you and for you to forget about us. There was no intention in the original plan for God to create a union between the Hebrews and Egypt. They were not to rule in Egypt. They were not to stay in Egypt. God wanted to flip the page and forget about the bondage of sin. Amen. He had intentions on setting them free from bondage, never to return again, never to serve Egyptian taskmasters again. In Exodus 14 and 13, Moses said to the people as they stood at the Red Sea, he said, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will shew to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever." God was getting ready to flip the page and never go back to yesterday and never go back to last year. God was wanting to forget about Hebrew bondage among Egyptian people. They were to leave Egypt's bondage, never to return again. When these plagues that God sent, these wonders, these miracles that God sent for the Hebrew people to Egypt, as they grew in their severity, and as they focused closer and closer to the heart of their idol gods, soon Pharaoh realized just how near their false worship these signs and wonders, these plagues were coming. And he told Moses, "I don't ever want to see you again. I don't want you to ever see my face." And it was almost as if God took a record of Moses, of Pharaoh's words, and said, you've condemned yourself. You've walked away from the law of God, and you've condemned yourself. And it was those very words that Moses repeated to the people of God. We won't see Pharaoh any longer. We will never see him again. They never saw an Egyptian face. They might have seen dead Egyptian taskmasters floating to shore, but they were face down in defeat, almost as if they were bowing in obeisance to the God of the Hebrew people. God wanted to flip the page and forget about the bondage. God wants to flip the page tonight and give a sinner a new start. Never to return again to the bondage of sin. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant or bond servant or slave to sin." Jesus said, "No man can serve two masters. He'll hate one and love the other. He'll cleave to one and despise the other. It is impossible to serve two different masters." Now, Jesus did not say that the best way is for man to serve nobody, because we have been created to serve God, and he has called us his son. He said, "I call you not servants, I call you friends. No greater love hath a man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." The master served the servants, and he calls us sons, and it's God's desire to deliver a slave of sin and make him a slave to love. Paul said, "I go bound in the spirit." Before Rome ever put one iron link on Paul's body, he said, "I'm already bound and constrained by the love of Christ." You don't have an option whether to be in bondage or not. In our day, we have a great sense, in my generation, a great sense of entitlement. We feel entitled to things that last generation worked their entire lives to possess and earn. And this entitlement has crept up into our theological thinking and how we view God. I've heard statements such as that God said he'll never cast me away, that I'll come back to God when I'm good and ready to. And that shows just how in bondage a soul can be. Their plea for independence is just one more way they are blindly marched to that eternal brick kiln in hell, an eternal flame. Oh, but Jesus doesn't want you to stay in bondage. He said, no man can have two masters. He said, the sinner is the slave to sin. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. God wants to flip the page. He wants to forget about yesterday's sins. He wants you to be set free from the bondage of iniquity. God wants to forget. Now, God is all-knowing. And in my humble interpretation of Scripture, God doesn't forget a thing. Nothing. Perfect intelligence. Even in our glorified bodies, with our glorified minds, we will yet fully comprehend God. Think about it. The seraphims created with angelic intellect, as they behold the glory of God, they're overwhelmed by His presence. And in all of their angelic vocabulary, and how Paul called the tongues of angels, how perfectly articulated they could describe the presence of God, they were so overwhelmed by His presence, all of eternity long, all they could say, it's holy, holy, holy. Our minds will never fully understand God. But I believe God never forgets a thing. Listen to me. But God chooses not to remember. God said in Isaiah 43 and 25, I, even I, am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. I will cast it as far as the east is from the west. I will not remember it against you anymore. That is a new start. This is a type of forgiveness that our human frail minds cannot fathom until we're born again. We cannot understand the concept of forgiveness. And it's only when we are forgiven, when we understand our debt to forgive others, that shows me the carnal mind cannot understand the forgiveness and the willingness of God to forget about yesterday. We've all made so many mistakes. We've all made so many blunders, whether you're saved here tonight or not. Tonight, we could fill up volumes and libraries of mistakes that we have made. Regrets. Oh, if I could just go back. If I could just go back to that date. As we flip the page on the year, we go back to that mistake that we made. We put our finger on the day. And in our mind, we vividly remember our failure to God, to others, to ourselves, to the church, to our calling. And we say, oh, if I could just go back. If I could just go back to that mistake. If I could just recall those moments, I would take it all back. And we're left to wonder, is His mercies clean gone forever? Is yesterday's mistakes greater than today's mercy? Is yesterday's bondage greater than the liberty that God wants to give me? Is that fresh start you're talking about, preacher man? Is it everything that it's cracked up to be? There seems to be some kind of strings attached. I hear God speak in lamentation through the prophet Jeremiah. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. God's mercy and compassion are new every morning. Hallelujah. Yesterday's mistakes are never greater than today's mercies. With the dawn, weeping, it lasted through the night. But with the dawn of that beautiful sunrise, as it kissed that beautiful sky, it ushered in joy. Why joy? So many wake up with no purpose to live. So many wake up with no joy. How can there be joy with every sunrise after the weeping of the night? What brings the joy? It's the morning mercy. Hallelujah. It's morning compassion that God gives every day as he licks his finger and flips the page. And he says, here's a new day that I've made. Now rejoice. Here's some joy. Here's some forgiveness. Here's some mercy. God wants to flip the page on a sinner tonight. And he wants to forget about yesterday's bondage. Amen. This shall be unto you the beginning of months. This is a fresh start. God's people had two calendars, a civil calendar and a sacred calendar. The civil calendar began and ended in harvest around April. And this sacred calendar begins somewhere around September. And here is this calendar as it still survived all of the culture of the people. This day they never forgot about. They never forgot about the new start that God gave them. Hallelujah. God said through the writer of Hebrews in chapter 8 verse 12, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." He does not deny the sin. He just pronounces a pardon. God does not overlook. He does not blink. At that time and season, God winked at that ignorance, but now commandeth that all men repent. He doesn't wink on ignorance. He doesn't wink on sinfulness. He doesn't blink his eye to transgression. But he calls, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. I know about yesterday. I know about your yesterday. Now let me teach you about your tomorrow. I know who you have been and I know where you're heading. But let me teach you about the plans and the thoughts that I'm thinking towards you. They're peaceful thoughts. I've got plans for you to prosper. But you've got to bring your chips to the table. You've got to negotiate with me. I'm ready to flip the page. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Yesterday's mistakes will never be greater than today's mercies. When God flips the page, he forgets about yesterday's bondage. When God flips the page, he plans for tomorrow's blessings. The sinner man tonight, you have hope in a new beginning. Saints of God, we have hope that it's going to get better. God delivered his people from bondage through a series of plagues. That word plague literally means wonders. The plagues were used by God, according to his own words in Exodus 12 and 12, to execute judgment against the gods of Egypt, the magicians who claimed to represent their false gods were defeated and confounded. Pharaoh, who was believed to be divine, was humbled when infirmities touched his body. And their great god, the Nile River, was polluted as it turned red blood and was corrupted and no one could drink of it. Frogs defiled the temples of their false gods, and at last their mightiest god, the sun god, Ra, was blotted out in darkness. But though those wonders were monumental, though those signs were powerful, exhibiting God's choice on his people's lives, God had greater things he was preparing to do for his people. As they began their humble march out of Egypt with a high hand, they borrowed all the money in their neighbor's bank account. They borrowed all the groceries in their neighbor's cupboard. They had everything they could need to begin a long trek to the promised land. We find that God supplied an angel leading them, a pillar of fire by day and a cloud a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. God sent a strong east wind as he blew from his nostril, and he parted that Red Sea, and he made a highway large enough that these millions of Jews could walk through and inherit the promise. Days after they were set free, they came to Marah, and God supplied a tree that would sweeten the bitter waters. Manna was raining from heaven. God sent the meat of quail to satisfy their hunger for meat. Then, as they thirsted in another place, God told Moses to smite the rock, and out of a dry place came forth gushing waters to satisfy the thirsty. Moses raised his hand to give the Hebrews victory over the Amalekites. God speaks from Sinai. The wind brings quail. Miriam rebelled and the leprosy was healed. On and on, these miracles of the wilderness, the signs of Sinai, the miracle of the manna, the wonders of the wilderness, the better things were ahead. Now, these saints, if I could call them saints, look, if they look back at yesterday's calendar, they would see all of these plagues, and they would wonder at yesterday's blessings. They would wonder at yesterday's deliverance. Oh, but God wanted to flip the page and prepare tomorrow's blessing. God was telling them that I did not exhaust my resources by plaguing Egypt and blessing you. There's greater things ahead. Saints of God, we can evaluate our yesterdays and see the faithfulness of God in yesteryear. And we could say, as we are astounded, oh, if God could do just like that right now. If God could do just like he did then for me right now, I believe it all be all right. And we're trying to envision yesterday's miracles for today's maladies. But when God flips the page, I believe he wants to get ready for a new beginning, a greater start, a greater blessing is ahead. I don't mean to be redundant, but it's necessary for me to revisit these promises. God said in Isaiah 43 and 18, "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." God's wanting to get you ready for a better blessing. Hallelujah. Jesus said, "Greater things will ye do because I go to the Father." Better things are ahead. Don't look at yesterday's monuments. There are yesterdays we should monumentalize. There are yesterdays we need to set up an altar of remembrance and remember them. We need to remember our Ebenezers. We need to remember our Jordan monuments so that we never, ever forget where God has brought us from. But I believe there's a promised land over yonder. And I believe it would be just as good if we told our children, "Hey, you've never seen me who I used to be. You'll just have to take my word for it." There's a fresh anointing for somebody that'll go on with God tonight. God's got a blessing ahead. Are you willing to possess the blessing? Are you willing to walk ahead in greater blessings? They could have took survey, and in the circumspect of their deliverance of Egypt, they could have looked at those frogs and said, "You know what? Let's make an image of a frog." And they could have looked at those sores and said, "You know what? Let's make an image of the sores. Let's make an image of the hailstone." But none of those monuments would have meant redemption to them. God was flipping the page, and he wanted them to flip the page with him. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 1 and 10, "God, who delivered us from a great death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us." Do you hear his concentrated look on the future? He is not concerned about yesterday. He remembers how God delivered from so great a death. But he's living in that doth deliver. He's living in the present help of a present God in times of trouble. I don't know how heavy your heart is, how worried your mind is, how anxious your spirit is. I don't know how severe your malady is, but if you've got a new malady in 2020, God's got a new miracle in 2020. We don't need to try to revisit old anointings. Yes, remember the monuments, but it's time we go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of Jesus Christ. Woo! Yesterday's mistakes will never be greater than today's mercies. Yesterday's performance will never be greater than today's promises. If you've got a new threat, God's got a new thing. Hallelujah. And he wants to do a new thing in your life. Amen. When God flips the page, he wants to forget about yesterday's sins. When God flips the page, he wants to prepare for tomorrow's blessings. The best is yet to come. Are you ready to flip the page? We look again as we revisit our text. Moses, God spoke to Moses. This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. God delivered his people through the signs and wonders. But the frogs did not deliver. The hailstones did not deliver. The darkness did not deliver. It was the lamb. The lamb gave the new start. The lamb gave God the ability to flip the page on a slate. God said, I have called my son out of Egypt. Now listen to me. All of those sons should have perished through the death angel, the destroyer, as the Bible puts it. The destroyer visited every home, and every home without a lamb, there was weeping. Every home without the blood, without obedience to the lamb, there was crying, moaning. There was loss over the firstborn. But we find in the house of the Hebrews, over in the land of Goshen, they had their sandals on. They had their staff in their hand. They had their garments girded. They were ready to go to tomorrow's blessing because of today's Lamb. The Lamb of God turned the page for you, sinner man. That's why you can hear the gospel one more time. That's why you can feel conviction one more time. The Lamb of God turned the page. Are you ready to flip the page? The best thing you can do is to set your calendar to God's calendar. The best thing you can do is set your watch to God's watch, because his time is infallible. We may lose a minute, we may lose a second in our clock keeping, but God's calendar is unfailing. God's timing is unfailing. Set your calendar. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. When the day came, when it was time to flip the page, get your calendars matched to God's calendar. Set your calendar. Set your watch. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Set your clock, sinner man. It's time to pray. It's time to turn to God. God's got his hand on the page of time, and he wants to flip the page. God wants to flip the page. There's a book in heaven, and he'd love to flip the page and add a name tonight. Because the Lamb of God flips the page. I said the Lamb of God flips the page. In Revelation, John began to weep because no one was worthy to open the book. No one was worthy to flip the page. But somebody told John, weep not, for the Lamb of God has prevailed. The Lamb of God flips the page. And we can look to tomorrow in hope, believing that the blood is still there. Hallelujah. Are you ready to flip the page? Paul said in Philippians 3 and 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, which side is Paul on? Is he looking back to tomorrow or yesterday? Or is he hoping in a greater tomorrow? I believe Paul had his sandals girded. I believe he had his staff in his hand. I believe he had that forward lunge to a better anointing, a greater anointing to work for God. Paul, if anyone could boast of visions, he could boast. He said, I could boast if I wanted to, but I'll boast in mine infirmities. He disguised his own vision by saying, I knew a man about 14 years ago in the body or out of the body, I'm not sure. He disguised his own prayer life with somebody else. He says, I'm not gonna monumentalize yesterday's prayer life. I'm reaching forward to something better, because Proverbs says the path of the righteous is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. I believe God's getting ready to lead somebody out of yesterday and flip the page. Somebody come to the music. I want you to notice how God was able to flip the page for people to begin a fresh start. The blood of the Passover lamb gave the new start. God gave them the ultimatum. They could reject the lamb and stay there for their last night in Egypt. Or they could slay the lamb, trust the lamb, and leave Egypt for a fresh start. They went in as a humble family. They left as a nation that the anti-Semitic nations of the world and time together have never been able to stamp out, the people that were born through the blood of the Lamb. I tell you, God's got a people that he is leading out of Egypt, and you do well to follow along. Would you stand to your feet tonight? If this wouldn't be too foolish, because even God uses foolish things to confound the wise, I'm borrowing my dad-in-law's calendar of 2019. He said, I don't want nobody to see my business, because he paid some bills on here. But you see that? See how they're all scratched out? I'm sure there's been some mistakes you made. We'll just say December. I'm sure there's some failures that perhaps have identified you and labeled you. But you know what I believe God wants to do? He wants to take the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, and he wants to take it out of the way, and he wants to nail it to the cross. Tonight, he's taken your yesterday, and he's nailed it to the cross. Now I wonder, is there a sinner man, a sinner woman, that wants to step out and go through the blood of the Lamb and want God to flip the page for you? Would you bow your head? Father, I thank you for your Spirit tonight. Oh, you've made me a preacher beyond my ability. Thank you for your word. I pray, God, that you, your Holy Spirit, would stamp it upon our hearts tonight. That it would not be a simple sermon remembered in our memory, but one that is etched upon our hearts. Let that sinner feel constrained to come to you tonight, Lord. Oh, flip the page for a sinner man, a sinner woman that's heading into bondage for their last night in Egypt, Lord. Lord, let them take the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world. Now's your time. Now's your time. now's the time. God's got his finger on the page. And he's getting ready to give you a fresh start. But you have to be ready to flip the page. Everyone who didn't take a lamb were left behind. Now there were those second born, third born that survived the Passover and followed Moses. But God said, no, there's got to be a consecration. It's time that everyone reconsecrate Moses. Some of them survived the Passover. You know what Jesus said about it? I'm the only way. I'm the door. Anyone that comes through it any other way is a thief and a robber. Are you following God's people out of Egypt with Egypt in your heart? God wants to set you free. Can I extend this altar call? Dear brother, dear sister, you're looking at your situations and you don't know how it's going to work out. You don't see a way. You don't know how things are going to pan out, and you wonder, oh, if God would just do it like he did for them. If God would do it like he did then. For a new malady, God's got a new miracle. For a new appointment, God's got a new anointing. For a new threat, God's got a new thing. God wants to flip the page and give you a promise for tomorrow's blessing. How many will step out in faith and claim God's word for your need? These altars are open. You need to pray. God is in this house, dealing and drawing. Let's respond reverently. Would you come right now? These altars are open.